Good evening and welcome. It's KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Tonight I'll be speaking with members of the Rancho Divines, a regional all-women's choir. They'll be part of the upcoming performance by the San Bernardino Symphony Orchestra. I also spoke recently with Lillian Vasquez about the upcoming Superhero Walk for Autism and Resource Fair on the campus of San Bernardino Valley College. We're going to start with information on the upcoming Vibe Festival of Wellness. That's April 14th on the campus of University Redlands. We have with us now Janae Bolt-Gregg, founder of the festival, as well as the founder of the organization the Vibe Festival funds, the ACTW. So let's start by differentiating the Vibe Festival of Wellness with ACTW.
Thank you, David. So the Alliance for Community Transformation and Wellness was an entity that I founded as a faculty member at the University of Redlands, primarily with the goal of raising mental health awareness on our own campus, but also in the larger community.
Okay, and then we have the Vibe Festival, and this is sponsored by the ACTW. I want to say it's a fundraiser for ACTW. That is what it is. But the fact is, it's its own thing. It's a big event.
That's all true. That's all correct. So Vibe Festival of Wellness is actually the fundraiser for ACTW, but it has become kind of its own thing. And the goal is that we use the funds that come in through the festival to support mental health and wellness initiatives explicitly or especially here in the Inland Empire, which in many respects is considered a mental health resource desert.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Why is that?
I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. I think the answers can be complex and multifaceted, but at the heart of it, it's a need for well-trained clinicians in our community to meet the demand. I think the state of California, in particular, through the California Mental Health Services Administration, has done a lot of work to decrease stigma and discrimination, so people might be more willing to seek services than they have in the past. We also know that suicide rates are increasing. There's just a greater need for people to take care of their mental health.
Wonderful. That takes care of the why did this start. Now, let's talk about how this got going, and how many Vibe festivals have there been now?
This is only going to be our third festival, and we're really excited about it. We've seen it grow a little bit each year. It's been fun to see how each year has its distinct personality and feel. There's not a particular formula that we're following. It's for the community and also very driven by the community, so different people are able to engage in different ways at different times, and it's been a lot of fun.
It seems like the first one was downtown Redlands, and you actually took over one of the walls of the buildings and showed a movie, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
That is our mental health awareness event that we hold in May for Mental Health Awareness Month. It's called Out in the Open, and our first event was in downtown Redlands.
Okay, so that's a different event then.
That's another event that the festival helps to fund, right? So a community event that's open to the public where we partnered with the city and we brought a lot of mental health awareness and resources to the community.
Okay, when is Out in the Open this year?
We haven't gotten that confirmed yet, but we hope it'll be in May in partnership with the city.
Okay. Now, speaking of partnership, what is the connection to University of Redlands beyond the location of the Vibe Festival? Only the third one. I can't believe that. Gosh.
Yeah, I think that's a really important question. So I'm a faculty member at the University of Redlands. I teach in the School of Education, and I teach clinical mental health and school counseling courses. This was a brainchild that I had for ACTW, like how could we raise funds to continue to do this important work so that it's not dependent on the state funding that I was getting, the grant funding that I was getting. There's often shifts and changes to that depending on who our leadership is in the country and what our regional politics are, and I wanted to ensure that at least what we're doing here locally we can continue to do as far as raising mental health awareness. So I think as a faculty member, I've had a lot of support to kind of host this at the University of Redlands. So this has direct impact on the campus community, on my ability to engage counseling students in this work.
What type of support do you get from your community within your department or across the campus?
Right. Well, and I'll just say again, this is an event for the community, by the community. And so really what we've been able to do and accomplish is because of our community sponsors. And the University of Redlands is a huge part of that, allowing us to use their space and supporting setup and breakdown and use of equipment. And then the School of Education is hosting our Kids Zone this year. So if it weren't for that level of support and time and energy and financial contributions from individuals and businesses in the community, it wouldn't be possible.
Nice. The Kid Zone. Talk about this.
Yeah, we're really trying to make it a good one this year. New Age Gaming is coming out for their third year. We've been really appreciative of their support. We're going to have the game truck out there from 10 to 4, and kids under 12 can play for free from 10 to 12. We'll also have laser tag and bouncy houses and arts and crafts tables, hopefully a skate clinic, maybe a basketball clinic, but lots of ways to engage youth in the community in learning about the 8 domains of wellness. We'll also have a wellness challenge, which has been really popular in the past, with some phenomenal raffle items for individuals who take on the challenge and complete all 8 of them.
Talk about what the 8 domains of wellness are, then connect that to this 8 domains of wellness challenge.
A lot of people are able to identify or name a couple areas of wellness that we need to pay attention to for optimal health and wellness, but there's actually 8 of them that require our time and attention, and those include intellectual, spiritual, emotional, social. A lot of people don't know that occupational, financial, and environmental are also important domains of wellness, and then, of course, physical.
Gotcha. Okay. And so now for this 8 domains of wellness challenge, what do people have to do? Talk about that, please.
Well, we'll have a huge table set up, and some of the counseling students that I work with have volunteered their time and energy to set that up and to lead out in that activity that day. They'll have a range of prizes and a range of challenges. You'll get to pick your domain. But for those of our participants that choose to take on and complete all 8 challenges of each domain, we'll be entered into a raffle for a number of exciting, fun prizes.
What's an example of a challenge that a person might face in one domain or another?
Sure. So we also have yoga classes and some educational sessions that we're going to be offering. And so let's say that you drew from the financial domain and you might be asked to attend one of our 30-minute educational sessions or visit one of our vendor tables that's talking about financial issues and ask some questions or consult. Perhaps you draw from the social and you'll be asked to introduce yourself to a couple new people or learn more about your physical or mental health from one of our vendors.
Okay. Well, let's talk about vendors now then. This is an arts and entertainment show, so let's go ahead and make sure that that's a part of this as well. Food vendors, drink vendors, there was a keg or two last time, I believe. Then we have bands and art. Let's tackle that. First, the food, since I mentioned that.
Yeah, we have some great food vendors this year. Our local Mexican ice cream shop, Nicho's, will be there. This will be their second year there. We have a new vendor, Crafted Culture, with a variety of vegan options for us. Country Corn with baked potatoes and corn. And JoJo's is a Redlands local who we've really appreciated his support, and they'll be back again this year.
And how about the bands and art? Speaking of art, let's go right into that, actually. You had a mural last year or maybe the last couple of years? Am I thinking of that right?
Yeah, so each year we have invited a local artist to come and do a piece for us. Some of the artists have chosen to do a live piece. Some have done a piece in advance and displayed it. But each year we've tried to feature some local art that is designed specifically for the festival. The goal of ACTW is to put together a collection of 5 pieces that we would have at any given time, and on year 6, auction our first piece. Our first festival, Ivan Preciado, an artist from San Bernardino, created a mural for us that actually went on tour in several local high schools that provided some positive health messaging, and the University of Redlands provided some wellness curriculum that was helpful to the students that we were able to bring into the schools. So year 5, we would be auctioning his piece, and so that's a way that we can continue to raise money for ACTW. So we're really grateful to these artists who kind of see this larger vision of what we're trying to do and are giving of their time and energy to support this cause, not just today, not just now, because it sounds good, but really thinking long-term about the sustainability of a project like this in the community. And we're really, really excited this year to invite and welcome Eric the Lion as our featured artist. He's an artist out of our local San Bernardino community. His work has been described as really motivational, inspirational, with an exquisite urban feel, and it's a great fit for our festival, and we couldn't be more excited to have his explicit support for a cause like this.
Sounds like it, yes. All right, so let's talk about music in any form, canned, or whether it's bands, or what do we have accompanying people during their day?
Yeah, we have some great bands this year. At 10 o'clock, we'll kick it off with Saturn Moons. At 11 o'clock, we'll have Wolf Panther. 12 o'clock will be Reverends. 1 o'clock, the Smudge Pots. 2 o'clock, we're really excited to invite back again Small Spaces. This will be their third year playing with us. And Gilfo's, as our headliner, will be returning this year. They were a band last year that drew a lot of energy and attention and just had a phenomenal performance, and we couldn't be more excited to have them back.
Fantastic. Let's try to close this way with something that you referenced near the beginning of this. We covered the art, we covered the entertainment, and we covered 8 domains of wellness. You mentioned stigma, removal of stigma. This is so important. Are you able to elaborate on this, why this is and how this is? There was a great phrasing that we had last couple of times.
We all have mental health.
That's it. That's it.
It's true, David. And I think it's just so important for people to remember that our entire beings, our whole selves, require time and attention. And we get really focused on our physical health. But when we're not taking time for ourselves, when we're not carving out ways to connect with other people in our busy schedules, when we're not finding ways to be our authentic selves, it takes a physical toll on us. I like contextualizing the festival within these 8 domains of wellness because while it decreases stigma, reminding people that there's 7 other domains as well as mental health for optimal health and wellness, it does remind us that there's all these domains, that it's not just physical and it's not just mental, but there's intersectionality between these domains. And I think the festival gives people a good reason or excuse, if you will, to put busyness aside and put technology aside and come out with friends and family and be in the moment and learn something new and try something you haven't tried before and make time for your friends and family. I think people are looking for a good reason to do that, and we hope to provide it.
That's perfect. Remind us one more time of the date and time and location and for more information.
For up-to-date information about the whole schedule of events, our yoga schedule, our schedule of activities for the day, details about our artists, vendors, or musicians, please visit us at vibefestivalofwellness.com. Again, the event is going to be held on the University of Redlands campus at the Orton Center and the Orton Center lawn. It's free and open to the public. It'll be April 14th. We really look forward to seeing the community out there.
Janae, thank you so much for your time. This is great.
Thank you so much, David. I really appreciate it.
Again, vibefestivalofwellness.com for more. That was Janae Bolth-Gregg. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Later in the program, we'll hear from members of the Rancho Divines, performing with the San Bernardino Symphony Orchestra with their next concert. First, though, we have the Superhero Walk for Autism coming up April 14th. I spoke with KVCR's Lillian Vasquez about the event. It's also a resource fair. With children being born on the autism spectrum, the numbers continue to rise.
You know, we are seeing an increase in rates, and I don't keep up with the numbers as much as I used to, but I know that it keeps going up, and more children are being diagnosed daily, whether it's in this region, within the state, or within the U.S. And they have loosened the range of how they would diagnose someone with autism. DSM-4 has changed, or DSM-5, and so some people think that the reason that there's more being diagnosed is because it's not as strict as it was. But the bottom line is, we have children out there that need assistance. We have families out there that need help getting through the different challenges. And, you know, I always hear from adults with autism that say, you know, we're fine just the way we are. And if my son could say that, that'd be great. But there's still many families that are just trying to get their kid to be the best that they can be, whatever level that's at. So we need groups like the Autism Society and the different organizations out there that are trying to help the individual and the families. Because it's not just the individual with autism, it's the entire family.
Oh my gosh, yes, that's such a wonderful way of putting that, and something that folks need to realize. It's, you know, you talk about getting married, you're marrying that family, you're not marrying that person. This is so much the same thing. Lindsay is just as affected,
She is. Lindsay is my oldest child, and she is neurotypical. And when she was in high school, the boys that she met, and then even more so in college, and then the man that she married, she told them, you have to meet my brother, because we're a package deal. You have to meet him because you have to know what it's like to live in this world and our world and some of the fun things and the funny things, but also some of the challenges and the meltdowns. And, you know, Grant just had his birthday. Grant is my son with autism. He just turned 26. And every March 27th, we are at Disneyland, you know, the happiest place on earth. And for some families, it is the happiest place on earth. But for some families, it is not. If things aren't working well and too many things are closed and he's having a bad day or the weather's not right, or Fantasmic isn't going to go, or the fireworks aren't going to happen, or Indiana Jones is closed, or they're under construction. Those are all things. He can take so many, but then we get to a point, if it's too many disappointments, he has a meltdown. So, you know, Lindsay will say to the different boyfriends that she had before she married Brandon was, okay, you got to do one Disneyland with us. And if you can get through a Disneyland day with us, you're in, you know?
Wow.
I mean, we joke about it because we can now. At the time when you're going through the meltdown, it's not so funny, but we know we're going to get through it. And then in 20 minutes, once we get through it, if it takes an hour, however long it takes, we'll be laughing about it and tell stories about it over a beer sometime.
Cool. You mentioned he can take so much before the meltdown occurs. And that is the thing about autism, and we should say the autism spectrum, because so many people, well, just the spectrum itself, okay, there's Asperger's to autism and
right.
So many stages in between, but just with autism itself, there are so many varying degrees also. So some kids could take a lot before the meltdown or whatever.
And some can't take maybe one thing. And so let's say Grant is there, and or any individual, but maybe the routine that they have is not going to happen because small world is closed. Now, do some of us care? The rest of us care if small world is closed? No, I can sing that song in my head for days. I'm okay if it's not there. But in his mind, he does small world, and then he might do something else. And, you know, before when we would go, we would use the map, and we'd cross off things. We did this, we did this, we did this, and we'd be rushing to get everything done. And then my daughter said, Mom, we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to do a little at a time and say, Grant, you can choose this or this, and this or this. And they, over 2 years, you know, we got it down to, we know what's there. We prep him to say what's not going to be open. He goes on the computer and then we drill for a week what's not open to get him used to it. Because one of the things with autism, it's they're not knowing. It's the unknown. You know, one of the reasons children or any individuals a lot of times like the videos and DVDs and they play it over and over and over is because that scene at the same volume, at the same speed is going to happen the same way, exactly the same time. And so they like that. They like that repetitiveness. They like that sameness. It's a routine and they like it. And one of the ways that when Grant was very young and he was first diagnosed, the doctor laid out blocks in a row, which was linear, and he liked it. When the doctor broke up those blocks, that's when he had a meltdown because he couldn't stand the routine being broken. And he did a few more things, obviously, that's not just it. But you can start to see how their mind is working, and when you break those things, what the triggers can be. And so we've learned Grant's triggers. Doesn't mean we have them all, and doesn't mean we get it right every time. But I have to tell you, March 27th this year, we had a beautiful day at Disneyland, and it was the happiest place on earth because there was things that weren't going on, but he knew about them. He likes to go see Mr. Lincoln every time we have to go see Mr. Lincoln. But right now they have the new Dumbo trailer playing a little longer. So he said, go see Dumbo trailer. Yeah, let's go. So everything worked out. The weather was great. There was no rain. If there's rain, you know, they don't do the fireworks or Fantasmic. So yeah, I'm really pleased. It was a beautiful day at Disneyland.
So I don't know if this exists at Disneyland or not, but this is one of the cool things about this upcoming Superhero Walk for Autism coming up, and that is that it's a place, I don't want to use the word safe zone, but that's a good place to start. Parents, if you go to a restaurant, you know, they're not necessarily equipped or experienced to handle a person of special needs, namely in the autism spectrum, and especially when we get toward the more severe portions of that.
And, you know, you can have an individual that's high functioning, but be in a restaurant, and if there's a lot of noise or the spoons are clattering or the lights are twinkling and it's too much, the sensory overload can be too much. So just like you said, going to the Autism Walk, and this year it's the 7th annual Autism Society's Walk. It's going to be held at San Bernardino Valley College. But it is a safe zone. You'll be around families that get it. So if your child is having a meltdown, we're not going to stare at you. We're going to say, how can we help? Can we get him a something to distract her? Can we get this? Can we do that? You know, people get it. You're not judged when you go to something autism related, right? Everyone knows that things could go bad. You know, the microphone might be too loud, so we have headphones, or that's what it's about. It's about taking families to a place. It's also a resource fair, so families can learn what's available right here in our Inland Empire community. But it's being around other families and networking with other families and getting to know other families that are going through the same thing. And suddenly the mom or the dad has an ally or someone to talk to, and you connect on that way. And they, oh, my son does this. Yeah, so does mine. Yours does that too? I had no idea. I thought it was just, no, we're all going through this. You know, and I'm at a different point in my life where Grant's 26 now compared to when he was 3 and 5 and what we were doing. And then puberty. Oh, my God, that was just like on a whole nother level.
Like, but that's an easy time for
anybody. Right, right. So that's what the day is about. It's about learning about resources. It's about coming together with families. It's about a family fun day. And it's supporting our Inland Empire communities and the families right here in the Inland Empire.
Excellent. And now people will be hearing this broadcast in various parts of the Inland Empire, maybe out in Orange County, or we touch into LA County just a bit. There are other autism organizations that provide resources and support.
Sure. So there are many organizations. There is TACA in Orange County. There's Autism Speaks and so many more that are trying to help our families that are living with this disorder or challenges. The Inland Empire Autism Society really focuses on families right here in the Inland Empire. So when they raise money or raise awareness, it's to help families right here in the IE. Does that mean other families can't come from OC or LA or high in the low desert? We want everyone there because we feel like it's an opportunity to connect with families, to learn more about autism and where your child might be, and to experience the walk. It's a fun day out in the sun walking. This year it's going to be held at the San Bernardino Valley College campus. So there'll be a lot of vendors out there. Some, you know, if people come to the campus maybe for the first time, and maybe it's a great place that your typical or autistic person might want to go to college.
True.
The walk will be right here on the campus of San Bernardino Valley College, which is a beautiful campus. And I think it's really awesome because where it's being held is in the football stadium, which is brand new, and there's plenty of parking there. So the whole area is set up for individuals and the families to enjoy it. There will be a grand marshal. The Grand Marshal is Isaac Singleton Jr. He's an actor who is scheduled to appear for the walk. He is best known for the roles in Anger Management and Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. He'll be there to kick things off. The walk starts physically at 1 o'clock, but registration is at 12 o'clock. Just go towards the football field. If you've never been to the campus before, there's plenty of parking, but head towards the football field.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. You can join us online, streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm speaking with Lillian Vasquez, primarily about the upcoming Superhero Walk for Autism. That's April 14th on the campus of San Bernardino Valley College. We talked about the fact that this is increasing. I do know that when you were new to it, that is when Grant was diagnosed.
Right.
It was, I think, 1 in 10,000?
It was initially 1 in 10,000. It quickly jumped to 1 in 5,000 and then very quickly jumped to 1 in 250. And it stayed there for quite a while. And then it started going to 1 in 92 and 1 in 68 and 1 in 59. And I think 1 in 59 is where it's hanging right now.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I drew this on somebody's arm, and we can cover that later. But the fact that it got to 1 in 68, and that was for girls, 1 in 58 boys will be born somewhere on the spectrum.
Right. The numbers are staggering. And I wish we had more money and time and effort going to the causation. Unfortunately, the funding is not there to figure that out. But once we get the diagnosis, we on this end just have to figure out how we're helping the families and how we're moving forward. Because some lives can be really, really challenging. Many marriages, 80%, 90% of marriages with a special needs or with autism don't make it. Mm. And it's a lot. It does get better, I think. ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis, or whatever therapy families decide. There's so many therapies now. When Grant was little, there weren't as many. There are so many more therapies now. I did an eclectic approach with Grant, trying several different things because I didn't know which one was going to work or what was going to help the best. And I think parents have to figure that out too, which therapy is good for that child. Because if it's sensory, if it's speech, you know, depending where that child is or where that individual is and what services they need. But some of those things, that's what they'll learn at the walk, because they'll have maybe a booth on dentistry, you know, where our families go for that kind of thing. Or they may have a booth on where they can get a diagnosis. You know, some families struggle. Inland Regional Center, which is one of the state agencies that funds many of the families on the spectrum, but they have to get that diagnosis first. And sometimes the waiting time is months. There are more facilities. In fact, there's a new one opening up in April in Riverside, but they're already delayed. They have a waiting list of 150 people, families trying to get the diagnosis. So that clogs everything, and you want to get services for your child as soon as possible. But coming to the walk, you learn more about other services or other therapies, whether it's music therapy or art therapy or whatever different things there are to engage our children. And that's what we're all trying to do, is engage our children.
Nice. You mentioned art therapy. Let's talk about art for a second.
Perfect.
And other things going on at the 2019 Superhero Walk for Autism. Let's address that for a second real quick. The walks have been going on for, well, this is the 7th annual.
Yes.
But they weren't always, let me see, when it was a Rock Autism, and then there
it's kind of evolved into this Hero Walk. And I guess it's the most popular because the kids love dressing up. Families like dressing up. You know, they'll have matching t-shirts that looks Hero Walk-like. Yeah, it's really evolved. And there'll be characters. There's usually characters at the walk. It's been fun. It's for all ages. It's not just a kiddie walk, you know, it's for all ages. And, you know, I really have to say one of the things that's really important at this walk, other than the resources, is the marketplace. And the marketplace is where individuals with autism are either doing art or making a product, and they're now selling it. It's kind of an entrepreneurial thing. And we give them a place to sell their items, if it's artwork, if it's knickknacks, if it's keychains. But we're giving them a place to learn how to be entrepreneurial in the gifts that they have, if it's making things, if it's origami, whatever different talents these individuals have will be at the marketplace. So individuals with autism are promoting their artwork, promoting their talent, and making a few pennies. So that's kind of good. And then, of course, KVCR will be there. We will have our booth as usual, and we will have our artist in residence there as well. David has been so wonderful over the years. David is an artist, for those of you that do or don't know. He is an artist. He's a very gifted artist. And since I have the mic, I'm going to get to talk about you however I'd like. And so David has this toolkit of Sharpies, and he draws on individuals. He loves having all new canvases. And some of the people that he's drawn on are autistic. They've been little, and sometimes he knows that they can't sit still for very long. So he usually draws a puzzle piece and then does more with it. In fact, you had a puzzle piece that you drew recently that was the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
That you made a Hero Hulk out of a puzzle piece. Obviously, the puzzle piece was green. But David has been doing this for many years. Families really enjoy it. I think David enjoys it as well, but the kids love it, and they're able to sit with you. And David has the patience to understand the kid may not sit as still as he needs him to be. David works with them. And so if you are coming to the walk, if you're thinking about it, or if you just want to meet David Fleming, then come to the walk and have him draw an art piece, a puzzle piece on your arm or shoulder or wherever you'd like it.
You know what? That is something that I really do enjoy doing. And I've been enjoying doing it anyway, this Human Canvas series that I do, but especially at the autism walks. You know, I don't know how many pieces, over 300 or so that I've done on people, but puzzle pieces themselves, those have been easily 120 or so of those 300. And it's not just a puzzle piece.
You take a puzzle piece, and sometimes it may start as a puzzle piece, and sometimes they just end as a puzzle piece, but you can also take them into so much more. It depends where your mind is going. You know, I've seen you do some beautiful fishes and kois and so many things, and sometimes it starts that way. And I imagine if someone asked you to maybe not draw a puzzle piece and draw something different, you'd be like, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Dig it. What do you want?
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing, throughout the month of April, as part of our autism initiative that KVCR has, we will be at several different businesses throughout. And David will be at a few of those. Well, there's a couple of breweries, one in Riverside, one in Montclair. Help me out here. Where are the
One in Rancho Cucamonga, I believe also. And then there's one in Corona as well.
Right. So there's different places that we will be promoting autism. And we have our coloring project, if I can mention that.
Please do.
The coloring project is is taking place at over 60 businesses throughout the Inland Empire. And for information on that and those businesses that are participating, this is your chance to say, I can support autism. Let me go to a business, have lunch, have dinner, and pay a dollar and sign my name to a puzzle piece. All the restaurants that are the businesses that are participating are on kbcrnews.org/autism. There's a lot of information. There's information about the walk, about the coloring part, about the breweries. So we are into April because April is Autism Awareness Month.
So again, that's kvcrnews.org/autism. Okay, simple as that.
So the walk is really for everyone, for families. You don't need to have someone on the spectrum. They're always looking for volunteers. You can register to volunteer. The main place to go for information for the walk, and if you want to register, is ieautism.org. You can sign up there. You can prepay there. If you want to get a group of people or family, if you want to walk by yourself, if you're a parent that has a child with autism or a teacher, or you know someone at your church and you just want to support it, come on out. We'd love to. It should be a great day. It's a beautiful campus, and I hope many of you will join us.
And you were talking about the groups of people. People will put up the Team Robert or whoever the person may be. Again, sometimes they're just wearing their favorite Marvel or DC or whatever superhero shirt. But I've seen a whole family. They were each one of the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
And I, on the fly, ended up drawing Ninja Turtle-themed puzzle pieces on them as well. A quick mention about that is that there's no charge for these drawings, these quick temporary tattoos, if you will, but we will always be welcoming donations.
Sure.
And those donations go to Autism Society Inland Empire. Beyond kvcrnews.org/autism, what are some other good resources? You could come to this event, and we hope that you do, but you're online. What's a good place to go to?
So really, one of the best places to go to, especially if you're looking for resources, is the Autism Society Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. On there, they have a resource book that is maybe 300 or 400 pages that people don't even think about. You know, where to go for the movies, where to go for your dentistry, where to go for behavior therapy, where to get diagnosis. I mean, it's just so many things. What social groups are out there. The resource in that book, when I first started with the Autism Society, we used to print that, and it was only about 100 pages. Now it's 300 pages, and it's just better to have it on the website. But that is really a dandy place to get a huge amount of resources from a book. The difference with being at the walk is you get to talk to other people. No, that didn't work for me. Well, did you try this? No, that didn't work for me. I tried this. And so you get other opinions. And granted, they're only anecdotal opinions, and it's not rocket science, or it's not backed by science.
It's not rocket science.
Right, right. But, but it is information that families can say, because I really value what another family, you know what, I tried this and it didn't work, but I'm going to try this now. Well, how did that work? And it's a guessing game. You know, it's a guessing game to figure things out. But when you have others that are guessing with you and trying to figure it out together, you don't feel alone.
So one more time for more information on autism, on the Autism Walk.
So I'm going to give you two websites. For the Autism Walk, the best place to go is ieautism.org. But if you would like to go to our website at kvcrnews.org/autism, there'll be information there about the walk, about the coloring project, other activities that are going on throughout the Inland Empire, and stuff that we're airing on KVCR TV and KVCR Radio.
Nice. Lillian, thanks a bunch.
Thanks, Dave.
That was Lillian Vasquez. Once again, the Superhero Walk for Autism and Resource Fair is April 14th on the campus of San Bernardino Valley College, ieautism.org for more. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Rounding out the show tonight, the San Bernardino Symphony will present its next concert April 13th with works by Ravel, John Williams, and Gustav Holst's The Planets. Joining the symphony for the Neptune portion of the work, we have the Rancho Divines. We'll now hear from Alice Smilgas and Julie Edwards-Matonga. Julie, what is your position with the group?
My position is as the director, and I play the piano for them too. It's kind of an informal chorus, and it was founded about 12 years ago. It's a municipal chorus from Rancho Cucamonga.
Alice, what is your position? You're one of the singers. What do you sing?
I sing both second soprano and first soprano, whatever Julie requires.
Okay. And how long have you been with the choir?
I started in her third session, so I'm in my 10th year singing with Julie.
And that's just 10 years with Julie. Can you tell me anything about the beginnings of the Rancho Divines, how and when it came together?
We had a director named Don Cloud, who unfortunately has since passed away, and he had an adult chorus troupe act that sang with Rancho Cucamonga. When he no longer could do it, then Julie came in and became the director, and I started with her third session.
And that was a mixed choir at that point, you said?
Yes, my first session was a mixed choir, but we had one man and about 12 women.
Okay.
So I quickly saw that there was a need for an all-women's chorus, which in the past I have participated in an all-women's chorus. I sing with Vox Femina in Los Angeles, which is a beautiful world-class women's chorus. And there was a void in the Inland Empire. As far as I know, we're the only women's chorus. There might be one in Riverside that sings barbershop style. We don't sing barbershop style. Women's choir is its own thing, has its own sound and kind of its own dynamics. You know, if you haven't experienced an all-women's choir before, I think we sound like angels. And I've been told that.
And that's just coming straight from the director herself. So.
Yes.
And this is Divines. I want to point this out. I'd been writing it down as in This Is Just Divine or Andy Divine, a D-I-V-I-N-E. But this is off of the vine, Divine.
Yes.
So talk about that. Some people may go, oh, yes, of course, you know.
This started out just as like a very generic municipal choir, but I had some special women in the choir that kind of wanted it to have its own identity. So they decided to give it a name. And since we're from Rancho Cucamonga, it means from the vine. And most of us are retired and getting up there. And we are fine vintage. So it's a play on words. And one of our members is a very talented visual artist. And we have our own logo and everything. And we always wear purple. We love it.
Is that because of the grape?
Of course.
Okay.
And because isn't it the best color?
It's a royal color. It's a very rich color.
Yes.
How big of a choir is this?
You know what? It ranges, but we've been growing. We've been, for a long time, around 10 or 12, but for about a year, we've been around 15 to 18. It seems that we're growing. We hope to grow more.
And are we looking at about 15 to 18 then April 13th?
Actually, we will be joined by women from the San Bernardino Valley College, from the Voci Soli choir.
Okay.
I thought that it needed to have more voices for a nice blend. I really wanted about 30 voices and got about 25.
Okay.
So it's going to be a nice size group. Half of them from the Divines and half of them from San Bernardino Valley College.
Wonderful. And this will still be an all women's choir?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about what you're doing. The San Bernardino Symphony will be performing works by Ravel, also John Williams, a Star Wars suite. Then we come to you with a portion of Gustav Holst. So we're talking about the planets.
Gustav Holst wrote this beautiful tone poem in the first decade of the 20th century. I can't exactly remember the date, but in the very last planet that he comes to, at that time, the very farthest reaches of the known solar system was Neptune. And then since then, they had discovered Pluto, but then, of course, they've demoted Pluto.
Right, so now,
I guess it's still true that Neptune is the farthest planet in our solar system. And this piece, I mean, it's an amazing piece of music. It's incredibly colorful and revolutionary. Opens up with Mars in 5/4 time and goes through all of the other planets. One other ones that are really well known are Jupiter, which has this soaring theme that's just magnificent and, I don't know, makes you feel kind of patriotic in some kind of odd way. And then the last piece, Neptune, which is ethereal and colorful. The whole piece has an expanded tonal palette. And just the Neptune movement, it has two harps, celeste, and a bass flute. And then it has the creme de la creme, an offstage women's chorus. There were other composers who had done that. For instance, Claude Debussy.
Okay.
In his piece Sirens, of course, if you're going to have mermaids, you would have to have a women's choir. There's some other pieces on this idea of offstage singing For instance, in Puccini's Madame Butterfly, there's the humming chorus, which is sung by the women. Yeah. That's just magically beautiful.
Sure, yes.
Just beautiful.
Let's talk about a tone poem. Also, Sprach Zarathustra, the 2001 Space Odyssey
yes.
theme. That one, if anyone reads about it or if they hear it announced on their local classical public radio station, they will hear it spoken about as a tone poem. Gustav Holst's The Planets also is a tone poem. Can you address what that is, please?
Well, in classical music literature, we mostly think of the ultimate genre for a symphony orchestra to play as being the symphony, being, you know, like usually three or four movements, and it's music for its own sake. Some of them might have had a specific images, say for instance Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, which is the Pastoral Symphony, and there's kind of some visual imagery that we get from the music. But a lot of these symphonies that have imagery were applied to them by publishers. A tone poem is something different. It was an absolute way of telling a story by a composer, and it's kind of the ultimate genre of colors and a specific story or a specific character, that sort of thing, a specific narration, trying to impart that imagery into the mind of the listener.
But all presented musically, not musically, lyrically.
Yes. Unlike an opera or a ballet, there's no dancers or costumes or scenery on stage. So this is all presented to you in an oral kaleidoscope of colors.
Oh, wow. Nice. That was a great way to wrap that one. That was nice. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Julie Edwards-Matonga and Alice Smilgis with the Rancho Divines, a choral group performing with the San Bernardino Symphony's upcoming concert April 13th. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Online at kvcrnews.org.
Actually, the choir does not involve itself for too long. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, if you think of the resources that the symphony would have to go to for all the players and for them to only be used for one movement, the last maybe 3 minutes,
two and a half minutes.
Mm-hmm. 2.5 minutes. But it ends the piece. Mm-hmm. He does not end this piece in a big bang way. He ends it in the most... might also be the first fade out in history. The instructions say to close the door. The choir is in the backstage in a room adjoining, and to get a fade out, they would close the door. So you hear this, you know, it's a manufactured way of creating a fade out. So you hear this music going out into the outer reaches of outer space. This piece of music, you can hear it in practically all the great film scores. It captured the imagination of especially John Williams and Bernard Herrmann and all the other really great film score composers. His palette is incredibly vivid, and this, you know, outer space, I'm calling them goddesses, the Neptune Goddess Choir. You know, you can definitely hear that in the beginning of the Star Trek with that, that kind of thing, you know.
I didn't expect that. That
was the scary space goddess sound.
Something that we were addressing earlier, just briefly, the health benefits of being a part of something like this.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. For the women who participate in this, it is incredible medicine. Most of these women are retired. So, you know, when you're working, you have community and you have friends. And when you retire, a lot of that is cut off. It's also a social outlet. You know, it combats loneliness. I have women who have chronic pain, who've suffered amazing loss, go through health scares and that sort of thing. And they said this was exactly the tonic they needed in their life, that it completes and makes their life happy and joyful. And it's really humbling to me.
I'm 72 years old, and I've been retired from my job at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory for over 10 years. One of the things that I noticed after I retired was my memory was not as good as it used to be because I was no longer being challenged. By joining the chorus and learning musical patterns, learning lyrics, learning parts, it has improved my memory, and it keeps me more mentally active. it's always a surprise to me when we go sing at senior homes that I'm singing for people who are younger than I am, but my memory is sharper, and I really do attribute it to the music.
And that's another thing that we really enjoy doing is we do like to outreach to care centers, especially memory care centers. There's so many people who are suffering from memory loss and Alzheimer's and that sort of thing. And that's touched my life personally. I've had family members who suffered. It's the most cruel disease, and there's no cure. And actually, one of the greatest medicines for somebody who has Alzheimer's is music, and we organize sing-alongs, and we have books, and we have lyrics, and we will have, you know, 40 people with books, and you would never know that there's anything wrong with them. They're all singing You Are My Sunshine or I've Been Working on the Railroad, and, you know, you'd never know, and they're having a great time. It's medicine. It's not medicine just for we, the performers. It's medicine for those who listen to us. I did see an article that stated in England now, they are actually doctors who are prescribing just these sorts of things. You know, people who are depressed, join a choir. It's medicine for your soul.
You mentioned the upcoming Day of Prayer performance. Do you have other dates on the calendar for this upcoming year?
We're going to be starting a new session next Tuesday, April the 2nd. And we meet at the Brulte Senior Center in Rancho Cucamonga. It's a lovely facility. Our sessions are 10 weeks long. And it concludes at the very end with a concert for our loved ones that's free. We even have some groupies who, you know, there's nobody, they just like to come because they know it's a good show. And we always have good food. And we usually have a theme, too. Actually, we always have a theme. Our last session was called Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Those were all songs about time. Our next session is about friendship. So. Wow. All of the songs will have to do with friendship.
What are some that you know that you're going to be doing?
I think we'll be doing I Get By With a Little Help from My Friends. We do lots of pop music. But we'll also be singing a Henrik Isaac piece called Innsbruck Ich Muss Dich Lassen. But we'll do it in English. It's
Thank you.
My Friends, I Now Must Leave Thee. Because I love Renaissance music, we always pretty much do something that stretches them. And they'll say, we don't like that song, but you know.
That's not true. We usually do. My biggest reason for loving to sing with Julie is her eclectic musical taste.
We do a little bit of everything. We really do.
How can people, one, contact you or follow you? Is there a website, a Facebook presence? And how can they get involved also?
Well, you can look online, go to the Rancho Cucamonga pages. I think it's the city of Rancho Cucamonga. You can go there.
Okay.
We also have a Facebook page called the Rancho Divines.
Okay. And again, that's D. This is radio,
apostrophe.
So we can't do the Victor Borga thing.
That's right.
So D.
Rancho
apostrophe.
Divines. Yeah, women, you're invited to sing. It's a non-audition choir. It's welcome. We have women of all kinds of different abilities, some who are almost afraid to sing. And we have witnessed grow afraid to sing out, you know, little tiny mosquito, little voices. And now, you know, they bloom within a few years. I think you'll find it's a friendly, special group of women.
Wonderful.
Keep music in your life.
That was Julie Edwards-Matonga and Alice Smilgas with the Rancho Divines, performing with the San Bernardino Symphony's upcoming concert April 13th. More at the concert at sanbernardinosymphony.org. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Julie and Alice, and thanks again as well to Janae Bolt-Gregg with the Alliance for Community Transformation and Wellness. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Sharina Wad, and Andrew Caravella. Music beds and themes heard on KVCR's composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVCR's programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming, thanks especially to you for listening and for your support, which you can do any time of the year. Just go to kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.